When you read this article by Sarah Zhang about the last children of Down syndrome in the Atlantic, what did you think when you saw that?
I had to read it very carefully, because on the surface, you know, the article seems well-balanced. Mm-hmm. Sarah Zhang interviews parents of children with trisomy 21, and she talks to women who chose to abort their child when they found out the child had Down syndrome. And in the article, she raises a lot of thought-provoking questions about eugenics, a world without people with special needs, and the power of parents to decide whose lives have value. Very unfortunately, Zhang still believes that a woman's right to choose whether or not to end the life of her child trumps everything else. On a large scale, she implies that people with Down syndrome have valuable lives and we need to reconsider how we value others. But, let's not get personal. On a personal level, she insinuates that a woman should have the right to choose between life or death for her unborn child, and we should not judge her because the decision is painful and difficult, right? And too often wrought with guilt. Well, we shouldn't. We really shouldn't judge the woman because, you know, I know a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome is often accompanied with tremendous pressure to abort from the medical community and from, you know, the families.
Yeah, exactly.
But we can definitely judge the act of abortion. To take the life of an innocent child, born or unborn. You know, there's nothing magical about the birth canal that makes a child suddenly worthy to live, you know. So to take the life of an innocent child is intrinsically evil. And preborn children need laws to protect their right to life. So anyways, it's a very morally relativistic article. And so while she raises, like, these important questions, her questions remain questions. The answers to her, they're elusive and unclear. And this is because she's looking at the issue without the light of faith. I've often thought, like, that the issue of abortion cannot be separated from faith. You know, the reason abortion is evil is that each person is made in the image and likeness of God, you know, endowed with the dignity of a child of God, lovingly created by God for an irreplaceable purpose. So because of this, we can't deny a person his or her fundamental right to life. To say, you're not worthy to live, or your life is not worth protecting and preserving, is to deny a person his or her inherent dignity as a child of God. And to me, this is the saddest thing about any abortion, and particularly the selective abortions of babies with a Down syndrome diagnosis. I think in many cases, parents who choose to abort a child with Down syndrome, they just don't know. They have no idea what a precious, wonderful, beautiful life they have ended. You know, instead, when parents are presented with a Down syndrome diagnosis, they are overwhelmed with worst case scenarios and all the things their child may never, ever do.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And one of the things that actually said in the article, and this applies to parenting in general, is that if parents knew and really thought about all the worst case scenarios that could arise just in general, no matter, you know, whether their child is quote unquote healthy or not, they might never want to embark on this incredible journey of parenting. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest right now is Mary Cooney, the creator of the Mercy for Martha's blog, mercyformarthas.com, and the author of Evangelizing Our Children with Joy. We're talking about the cover story in this month's Atlantic magazine called The Last Children of Down's Syndrome, a very controversial article. And Mary, let me ask you this. I want you to tell me about when you found out that your son Christopher was a child who has Down syndrome. How did you get this news, and what was your reaction?
Yes, so my husband and I chose not to have prenatal testing because we knew that no matter what, we were going to love and raise this baby. All of his ultrasounds indicated a healthy, normally developing baby. So even though I was in my early 40s, we didn't really worry about having a child with Down. So the diagnosis came the day after he was born. During Christopher's checkup, the pediatrician noticed several markers for Down syndrome and told my husband he was 98% sure that the baby had trisomy 21.
Just to interject for our listeners, that T21, that refers to the extra chromosome, right? That is a marker of Down syndrome. Okay.
Yes. So I wasn't there in the nursery when the doctor told my husband this. I was in the hospital room surrounded by my other children, and they were waiting excitedly to meet their new baby brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were beside themselves, you know. When my husband returned with Christopher from the nursery, he handed the baby to his siblings. And as they gathered around him, my husband whispered in my ear, "The doctor says he has Down syndrome." Well, you know, the moment Christopher was born, I had wondered it, you know. I'd sensed he was different from our other babies, so I wasn't surprised. I wasn't even upset. But then my husband continued, "He has 4 holes in his heart, and he's got pulmonary hypertension. A nurse is coming to take him to the NICU." You know, and that's when my heart sank.
Whoa.
And I thought, is this what Down syndrome is? You know, because I didn't really know much about Down syndrome.
Yeah, my guest is Mary Cooney on the Cale Clark Show today, and you can call in if you want to react to this or if you have a question for Mary, 1-888-914-9149. We're talking about the cover story in the Atlantic magazine for December 2020, The Last Children of Down Syndrome. Mary is a parent of Christopher, who is a Down syndrome baby. And when you heard about the fact that he had all these additional health problems, holes in his heart, pulmonary hypertension, he was going to have to go to the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. How did you tell your other kids about this? I mean, they're waiting, they're wanting to meet this baby. What was their reaction?
Yeah, we didn't have time to process this information. You know, we had to tell our kids almost right away because a nurse was coming and they would want to know why was she taking him away to the NICU where they wouldn't be able to see him or hold him. So they took the news very, very hard. Not so much because he had Down syndrome, but because their baby had holes in his heart, and that was really scary for them. And because we didn't know when we would be able to bring him home. So our kids, who had come to the hospital full of anticipation, full of joy, you know, bubbling over with excitement, they were crushed. And you know, some of them cried. They just started sobbing. But our 13-year-old had a beautiful perspective. And she said, "His condition is our sugar-coated cross."
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a cross because they couldn't bring him home and because he was sick. But it was sugar-coated because he was so sweet. And they already loved him so much.
Oh, that's so beautiful, our sugar-coated cross. That's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at this. I'm talking with Mary Cooney, the author of Evangelizing Our Children with Joy. We're talking about The Last Children of Down Syndrome, which is a cover story article in the Atlantic magazine this month, which is basically advocating for the elimination of all children with Down syndrome, depending on how you read this article. But certainly the eugenics angle is very much front and center. And Mary being a parent of Christopher, a Down syndrome baby. That's incredible. So a sugar-coated cross was given to your family. And what happened after that? Christopher is obviously in the NICU. And what happened after that?
Yeah, so the next day, my OBGYN came in to see me. Now, I've heard horrible stories of doctors and how they have delivered a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome, but she was amazing. She is a wonderful Catholic doctor. And so when she heard that Christopher had Down syndrome, she came to me and she said, "You know, God must have great confidence in you to entrust you with one of his most special children." You know, I will always be grateful for those words. And I wish those were the words every doctor would say when delivering a Down syndrome diagnosis, because that's the truth of the matter. You know, my mom likes to say, each child God gives you is a vote of his confidence, you know, and all the more so with a child with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
God creates each person with a purpose. But in a society that places, you know, so much value on achievement and success, you know, one might wonder what would be the usefulness or the purpose of a person who's weak or has a lower IQ or is more vulnerable. You know, wouldn't such a person be a burden on his family or on society? And we have to look at such a person with the eyes of faith. Perhaps God created this person to teach us to be more compassionate, more generous, more patient. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps God created this person to show us how to live more simply and to enjoy the little things. Perhaps, and I think this is the case with our Christopher, God mm-hmm. created this child simply to bring great joy to the people around
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So to cooperate with God in raising such a child is truly a privilege. And it's why many parents of children with Down syndrome call themselves the lucky and the few.
Mm.
So anyways, my OB reassured me that everything was going to be okay. She, you know, his hypertension would resolve and that the holes in his heart, they might even close up on their own. And this was the beginning of a great outpouring of love and support that upheld us during the next 3.5 weeks we spent with Christopher in the NICU. Those were long, sleepless, anxious days and nights. You know, we just watched. We would just sit there, pray mm-hmm. the rosary, and watch his oxygen levels. Yeah.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, but we were really inundated with love and prayers. You know, people around the world were praying for Christopher. And sure enough, the hypertension resolved, he weaned off the cannula, and two of the holes in his heart closed up on their own.
Well, praise the Lord for that. My guest is Mary Cooney. We're talking about the recent Atlantic Magazine article about Down syndrome. And if you want to call in and talk about this, or if you have a question for Mary, you can call this number toll-free, 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So, Mary, I got to ask you this. So, Christopher is now 3.5 years old presently. What has your life been like since you've taken him home and you've been raising him for these 3.5 years? What's life been like in general raising a child with Down syndrome?
Okay, so the day we finally brought Christopher home, all of us, like, nearly burst with happiness.
Oh, I can imagine.
The kids were, like, literally dancing and jumping and screaming on the street as we were driving towards the house. And they could not contain themselves. And ever since, I can honestly say, he has brought so much joy to our family. Now, you know, that's not to say that he's the perfect child, and our life is without challenges. You know, the first year, he had a lot of doctor's appointments, and they were time-consuming, and, you know, I was homeschooling, and it made my homeschooling, my kids, more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed, and we managed with joy because he was, and he is, so lovable. Now most of his health issues are resolved. You know, he needs speech and occupational therapy, and he's got obviously some developmental delays. But seriously, you know, in all other respects, he is your typical 3-year-old boy. He's affectionate, fun-loving, rambunctious, and honestly, tyrannical, right? I mean, all 3.5-year-old boys are little tyrants, you know? He throws his plate when he doesn't like the food. He pulls his sister's hair, you know? He rolls on the ground and he roughhouses with his brothers. He is very typical. He is more typical than he is atypical.
Wow.
Yeah. So during those days in the NICU, they were very dark days.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered how having a sibling with Down syndrome would affect my other kids. And I wondered if our lives would be so consumed with his health care and his special needs. You know, would my other kids still get the love and attention they needed? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, Mary, you obviously have some teenagers in the house as well. And, you know, teenagers can be pretty selfish at times. I hate to say that. But did having Christopher around affect their attitudes in any way that you could see?
Yes. I mean, I love to see how my teenagers relate to Christopher. you know, the way they carry him around on their shoulders. Well, sometimes I don't like to see that, but, you know, the way they play music for him, dance with him, just cheer him on for everything that he does. You're right. You know, teenagers can be so myopic.
Mm.
And Christopher, he pulls his siblings out of themselves.
Wow.
You know, they love to hang out with him because they forget that they're moody or stressed or annoyed when they're around him. And I can honestly say, you know, all of my kids have grown to be so much more compassionate and self-sacrificing and aware of the special needs of other people.